Hey everybody!
Welcome to Cheat Day!
Where every day is a good day to feel represented. With your host, Kristen, gender pronouns she, her, hers.
And your host, Frankie, gender pronouns he, him, his.
Welcome!
Hi!
Alright, how are we all doing out there?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good. I have a few things going on in my personal life, but...
Okay.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
Or crazy.
Yes, you yeah. are right. You are right.
One of the two.
Yeah. I mean, I love that you have some things going on, but still you are here. You're recording. You're present. That says a lot about you.
Oh, thank you, Frankie.
And I appreciate you, and I'm happy to be here with you.
Caught it. I'm happy to be here with you, too.
Yeah.
This is a nice getaway. Nice just to come in here and record, be with my friend, and talk about what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Which is?
Representation.
Yes.
And why it matters.
It does matter. Absolutely. So, in regards to representation, we were going to talk about, like, sitcoms, TV shows.
Yeah, movies. I think just in general, like how there is representation, or actually I should say lack of representation out there as far as people of color, women, LGBT. So I'm curious as to, because I know my experiences when I was a child about not seeing myself on TV and how it impacted my life. So growing up, I grew up in Puerto Rico, right? We have like local channels, but... We also had cable, so I was able to see a lot of the shows that were being broadcast in the U.S. And at the time, I didn't really pay much attention to how it was affecting me, but many, if not most of the shows, I would say, were predominantly a white cast. At least all the leads were white. And I wasn't on TV. And if I was, if there were people of color on television, they were being portrayed as either criminals or the help. And then also, if there were anyone who was gay, it was sort of like the comical relief. The same with people who were not your standard size. We were always like the comedic escape. So what that was telling me, and I can see it now, sort of looking back, is that the only accepted thing was to be white. I have to say that I, for a part of my teen years, I wanted to be white so bad. Like, I would watch like Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place, and I wanted to be that. I knew that I couldn't just change my race all of a sudden. I could not become white. But I wanted to be as close to that as possible. I wanted to have white friends, especially around the time that I moved to the U.S. Mind you, life plays really cruel tricks on people. Because when I moved, I went to a predominantly black and Latino school. There were about three or four white people that wanted nothing to do with me. But I really wanted to be their friend. But that didn't happen. And so then I started sort of listening to rock and like rocking like Doc Martens and like just trying to, you know, be my cute white self. That wasn't happening. I went through that phase and I came out the other end really appreciating where I came from and my roots and embracing my culture. Thankfully, some people never, you know, recover from that, from not seeing yourself and believing that you are not worthy or that you are not enough. And I still don't see myself on television. You know, there still isn't a chubby gay guy out there who's not the funny one. You know, there are no leads for someone who looks like me at this point. What was your experience like growing up in Seattle?
Well, when I was looking back at like a lot of the shows I watched growing up, I realized how white a lot of it was.
Yeah.
And how much I wasn't aware of that because I am a white woman. I did watch a lot of predominantly African American shows. But I actually related more with those shows, but I never really saw myself. I never saw a fat woman, that a fat child for that matter, being portrayed in any of the shows that I watched. And, you know, also like in the beauty industry, like, again, growing up, I just didn't see anyone that looked like me. Mm-hmm. Which just reinforced even more that my body was wrong, what I looked like was wrong, it wasn't lovable or wantable. You know, school reinforced that. Mm-hmm. You know, but the things I watched to get away from everything also reinforced that.
Yeah.
And I still, to this day, there are more plus size women being portrayed in movies as lead characters.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa McCarthy being an example.
Yeah.
But I still don't feel like I see my body. You know, also with a lot of the plus size women that are in movies or TV shows, it's a certain kind of plus size woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just a hair above what's already been portrayed for so long and called plus size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, small waist, larger boobs, bigger butt, you mm-hmm. know, very like, you know, 32, 24, 32.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not my body. It's never been my body and it never will be my body.
Mm-hmm.
And though those things don't necessarily affect me now, it would have been nice growing up being able to see someone that looked like me as mm-hmm. a lead character, or somebody that, you know, the lead character wanted to date mm-hmm. or whatever it was.
And not be the joke.
And not be the joke.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of the times, this is something that I see with a lot of gay men who are around my age. They love like Wonder Woman or like Buffy, which I love both of them.
Okay.
And I think, at least for me, the way that I can explain it is there were no male role models for me that I could identify with. Because there's always this idea, especially in a lot of the TV and film of the day, of sort of like this alpha male. And there was this idea of what a man was supposed to be portrayed in all these stories that did not land with me. Because I couldn't. I wasn't into sports. I wasn't into cars. I wasn't into women. You know what I mean? Like all of these things that were just not part of my... And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't really... I tried really hard to be into all those things for a while when I was a little kid. I wanted to be into sports because I also saw my dad being into sports and to cars and all that. I tried to fake it. And I just couldn't. It came to the point where I couldn't. But what I did find were with all these strong female characters I could actually identify with. Like a Buffy or a Wonder Woman. Because they had all of the characteristics that I loved and that I would love to have. You know, they were strong, and especially like Buffy was like super like funny and sassy and like all these wonderful things. But when I think about it now, that's how I see it, is that all the qualities that I wanted to possess, they had. And I was like, I would love to be Wonder Woman. I would love to be Buffy. I would love to be Supergirl. I was obsessed with that movie from the 80s.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, it's just the industry is just so whitewashed.
Absolutely.
Even when they like hire white actors and actresses to play American Native
mm-hmm.
characters, or men, male-identified characters playing trans women,
yeah.
or a white man playing an Asian man. It's just like, why, mm-hmm. why is it so whitewashed?
I don't understand.
I don't understand either.
I mean, I do understand in a way. It's all about money. Mm-hmm. So they'd rather have somebody with a name. With a name meaning somebody that has had a track record of success within the industry, and somebody that they know that can be a safe bet,
right,
to bring in some money, rather than take a chance on perhaps someone who doesn't have that, someone who's a new actor, a new face. People don't like to take risks with money. I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that a lot of the gatekeepers of Hollywood are white men. And they like to keep in the family, you know?
They sure do.
So that's sort of where it begins for many people and where it ends for many people and where it never starts for many people.
Right.
And nothing's going to change until that changes.
Right.
I mean, things are changing slowly. But what I see is a lot of what they call like FUBU, mm-hmm. for us, by us. Mm-hmm. If you want something produced, if you want something created, you got to go out there and make it yourself.
Right.
And then once you prove that that can be a success, then somebody else that, you know, it's part of that whole system will buy into it.
Right.
But until you have that, it's going to be very difficult for you to get in there. It is not impossible because nothing's impossible. It's just they make it very difficult.
Right. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To say the least. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are changing. But before we go into what's changing, I actually wanted to read some statistics as far as what it looks like in Hollywood, the like numbers and percentages. So this is from the diversity report that happens. It's released every year. And when it comes to leads in theatrical films, from 2011 to 2016, by race, 1.4 out of 10 lead actors in film are people of color. 1.4. As far as leads by gender, so women accounted for 31.2% for the leads in top films in 2016. That's actually an increase over their 29% share the year before. Leads by gender in broadcast scripted, 64.75% male, 35.7% female. Leads by race in cable scripted, 79.8% are white people and 20% minorities. Share of film roles by race, 2016, 78.7% white, 12% black, 2% Latino, 3% Asian, 0.9% Native. As far as directors, only 1.3 out of 10 film directors are people of color, and less than 1 out of 10 film directors are female. Show creators by race, 92.9% are white. Yeah.
Those are crazy statistics.
Yeah. 7% are people of color. And show creators by gender, broadcast scripted, 77.9% male, 22% female. Writers, 91.9% white. Writers by gender, 86% males. So this is, when we're talking about the gatekeepers, we talk about like talent agencies. And there are like 3 major ones in Hollywood that sort of control everything that happens. 96.7% of the partners running the dominant talent agencies are white. And those are the people that are dealing and wheeling in Hollywood that sort of make shit happen. 71.4% male. So there you can see what the problem is. But some people are actually trying to do things to challenge that and change that. I don't know if you are familiar with Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy is the creator of American Horror Story.
Okay.
He is doing a show called Pose.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
on it. FX.
Yeah.
And that show has the largest trans cast ever. And it's a show about the ballroom scene in the 1980s in New York. Mm-hmm. And I know you and I love My House.
Love.
Which is also a show on Viceland about the ballroom scene. What's happening now. And I just love to see, I love Viceland because it shows you a lot of different slices of life in the different corners of the world, of the United States, stuff that people didn't know existed.
Right.
And it's exciting to watch. What are some things that you're watching now that you think are sort of doing a good job at having some diversity?
That's a good question. You know, I used to watch so many different sitcoms.
Yeah.
And then when I think about the TV that I watch now,
mm-hmm.
It's like all Real Housewives of Southern. I will say Atlanta and Potomac are my fave.
Mm-hmm.
Those rich bitches really know how to do it up.
Yeah.
I shouldn't call them bitches. Those rich ladies know how to do it up.
Okay.
But my husband watches a lot of Viceland. Yeah. So we've been watching My House.
Mm-hmm.
Desus and Mero.
Mm-hmm.
Love Desus and Mero. Mm-hmm. They're hilarious.
They are.
They're always stoned, but they really know how to, like, make it happen, even though they are so
blatant. They have some really big guests.
They really big, and constantly.
They had Melissa McCarthy the other day. They sure had did. Tracy Ellis Ross recently.
They're so funny.
Yeah.
They just have such good chemistry.
Yeah. I didn't know that one of them is Dominican.
The one that sits, if you're looking at the TV, the one that sits on the right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't actually surprise me.
They are funny.
They are so funny.
Yeah.
Rich Housewives of Somewhere, always watching that. Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really say any of those shows do a very good job of diversifying.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's the black shows and then there's the white shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the behavior that comes out a lot of them is disgusting.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like watching it.
Right. It's like a guilty pleasure.
It's just so appalling.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, right. You have so much and you act so shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how? Doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I really stopped watching it, though. I feel really guilty. I feel a lot of shame around it.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
I just do. It's like watching porn.
I don't have any guilt
for that. I know.
Shameless.
Shameless on the porn. That's hilarious. God, what else am I watching right now? Fuck That's Delicious. I know it's starting back up soon.
Mm-hmm.
He always has a very diverse lineup of people that come on the show.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we watch on Viceland? So Supper Time with Maddie Matheson, which is, he's Canadian.
Okay.
We won't hold the fact that he's white against him. He's Canadian. It's a different kind of white man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a white man that believes in universal health care. Mm-hmm. And equality like for all. Yes. He's super funny, though.
Yeah.
We're watching My House. We're watching the Action Bronson show, which I don't know what the name of it is, but it's basically him in, like, a kitchen with, like, a deck and, like, a big open space in New York. And, like, guests come and they have, like, a band and they make food and there's a chef. And it's, like, so random and unplanned, but it works.
I'd like to be a part of that.
It's really good.
Sounds good.
I know. Action Bronson, we want to be on the show. Bring us out. I would love to come to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Noisy, which they just recently did one on Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Westworld, which apparently is written by a woman. Mm-hmm. Live for Westworld. Love that show. We're just getting into season 2.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have one recorded right now.
Mm-hmm.
Still a little confusing. Is this the same woman who wrote the show? There were like 7 seasons of it. They were all stuck on an island.
Lost?
Yes. Because it's very Lost-esque.
Okay.
So it wouldn't surprise me if it was the same writer.
Right.
Very, like, it's like all these pieces, and then they all kind of come together at the end. They go off on thought tangents, and it's really good. Wong's World.
Okay.
Trixie and Katya.
Mm-hmm.
But shouldn't Katya go to rehab?
I
think she did.
I don't know.
And Bob the drag queen was covering her for a while.
Oh, really?
Do you know Bob the drag queen?
I do.
She's fabulous.
Yeah.
In fact, I kind of thought she was better than Katya.
Oh.
Trixie Mattel and Bob the drag queen.
See, I don't watch Drag Race.
Oh, no, it's a show on Viceland.
No, I know. Oh, but like, okay. But we're all from Drag Race.
Right, right, right.
So I'm not too familiar with the names and I know Bob because he was in Todrick Hall's, like, YouTube videos and things. But I haven't. I don't know their history.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
Okay.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
Okay.
She's very funny.
Yeah, and you brought up shows being created by women, and there's a bunch, like Orange Is the New Black.
Oh yeah.
Also, Broad City, and Jane the Virgin, Craig's Ex-Girlfriend. So a bunch of stuff out there. Not enough, but there's some stuff out there that we can show our support to. To let people, because I think an important part of that is that we have to let whoever the gatekeepers are. We have to let them know that we want these type of shows.
Right.
We want to see ourselves. We want people to be represented.
Mm-hmm. And all people.
Absolutely.
Not just a certain kind of person.
Yeah. Because the world doesn't have, like, just a certain kind of people. That's why I laugh every time I see, like... I was watching something the other day, and they were in a scene, I think, in a bus or something, and everybody in the bus looked like a model. I was like, even the background, the background actors all look like they just, you know...
They're on their way to an audition.
Abercrombie and Fitch, okay. All the way, honey. I was like, you know there will be some people who are just... You know, your average person.
Just regular schmegular
people. Just regular people riding the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But not this bus.
No, this is very a special bus.
You can't sit with us bus.
So stupid.
But you know, that made me think, because when I first moved to LA, I did some background work.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have, like, they do break it down like that. They have, like, your A team for the background people.
Right.
Which are, like, the ones that might get, like, a line or two. They all look very, you know, particular.
Certain kind of way.
Certain kind of way. But, yeah, it's interesting
mm-hmm.
how that works all the way down to even the background. The people are going to be in the background.
Right.
Like, if you don't look like that, you can't even be in the background of this right. movie.
So yeah. crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy.
But something that I think is interesting is all of the new platforms are... coming up, like you have the Netflix and the Hulu, and I think that will help diversify all of this.
Right.
Because a bunch of the shows, like Orange is the New Black, is on Netflix. We have, like, Handmaid's Tale, which has female leads, is on Hulu.
Right.
So I think the more platforms that we see, the more shows and productions that we'll see that will be more diverse.
Right. Like, we're moving in that direction.
Yeah.
Very slowly. Very slowly.
Very slowly.
But moving but in that direction.
That's where we are going.
Right. I had stuff about, like, the different shows I watched growing up, what I identified with. Like, Ellen. Ellen coming out as gay was, like, the first person I identified with in that. I didn't know I was queer at that time. Because I... went to Catholic schools, and you didn't really see gay people on TV. There weren't gay people at school. I'm like, mm-hmm. where do you, how do you even know about that and, mm-hmm. unless you see it?
Yeah.
So it was interesting that she was the first gay character that I could relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know why I could relate to her. Mm-hmm. Later than finding out I'm a queer woman.
Yeah.
It makes more sense, but mm-hmm. Maxine from Living Single.
Okay.
Strong black woman related to that.
Yeah.
She was a lawyer.
Okay.
She's a very sassy woman.
Yeah. I can't remember the first gay character that I saw ever. I remember the movie Mannequin.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Hollywood.
Yes.
Hollywood, which was the very...
flamboyant yes. black man with, like, the...
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
That was, I think, probably one of my first memories of that. But then after that, I can't really think... of anybody else that wasn't either, like, a child molester or, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Something along those lines, or some kind of pervert.
Right.
Or a man either, like, organizing a wedding.
Right. Steve Martin, father of the bride.
I don't quite remember.
Frank. He called him Frank.
Oh.
What was his... He's, like, a famous actor. Continue. I'm sorry. I digress.
Okay.
Let me find out what the
name. I can't remember that one, but I think one of the first times that I sort of felt like, not that I was seeing myself, but I felt like something major was happening. It was Queer as Folk.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But then again, that it was more of a fantasy. I feel like that wasn't a reality. That wasn't what me and my friends were going through at that time. I mean, it painted a picture. That I guess some people, what some people's lives look like. But, you know, my life doesn't go into slow motion every time I walk into the gay club. Like, it just right. wasn't, you know, and there's isn't glitter falling from the sky every mm-hmm. time. And some gorgeous go-go boys are just dancing around me. And it's not just one huge, you know, party all the time. Like,
right.
there's... It did do something for me at that time because I was seeing men... who were living their lives as gay men, as normal as anybody else. So it did that, but looking at it now, it's like, okay, it's a lot of white people in this show.
Right.
It was nothing but white people in the show.
Right.
So that part doesn't sit well with me. I think it did what it did for that time.
Right.
Then I think I discovered Noah's Ark, which was really sort of it portrayed men of color just living their gay lives. That was nice. That was closer to what my life was than Queer as Folk.
Right.
And I still can't think of any shows today that have that, if other than like reality shows.
Right.
Like I think Queer Eye is doing good.
I do, but even that cast I feel like could have been more visually diverse.
Agree.
Three of them are white men.
Three of them are white men.
Out of five. And they're all very slim, and they clearly go to the gym.
Right.
That or they just have really good jeans.
I mean, we have their Instagram, and I see them at the gym working out.
I mean, they're fabulous.
They are.
They're beautiful men.
They are.
But so are you.
Thank you.
And it would be nice to feel represented.
Yeah.
In the media, on film, in sitcoms, in reality shows.
Yeah.
I mean, especially reality shows. It's called a reality show. It is supposed to be reality. I mean, we all know it's not scripted, but
real. Yeah,
you would think. Mm-hmm. But again, the gatekeepers are a bunch of white guys.
Correct. Because I think, the gatekeeper concept, it works in many, many systems. So I think there is the gatekeeper also concept within the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's made up of the same people. They're just gay white men.
Right.
So they have set themselves up to be the accepted, the dominant group. And everybody else has been forced to create a subculture for themselves.
Right.
Looking for a sense of community that is not found in a larger LGBTQ community.
Right.
That is what is interesting, because as part of the LGBTQ community, people think that we are accepting and all of
all
others.
Inclusive.
We're all
very
on this,
kumbaya.
We're all on the same boat together.
Yes.
We're not.
Correct.
We are not. In fact, I can't think of a more divided community, prejudice. You know, the whole no fats, no femmes, no blacks, no Asians. That's something that's been going on forever.
Right.
Forever. And people are blatantly racist and sizist. So that needs to be addressed as well. But I think the more visible we become, the better. And I think that's why people are on Instagram just being themselves and living their lives. And we have the whole body positive movement.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we definitely need to do more and really take a real look at what this community is doing and not doing and try to address those things.
Right. The moral of the story is
how
important representation is.
Representation matters.
And I want to feel represented in the industry. And I feel like at this point, the way to do that is to be present and amongst the community.
Yeah.
And to put myself out there in the ways that I know I can via Instagram.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's also to like take it upon yourself, like especially for people. I don't know if we've talked about this, but like I write, you are also a storyteller, and you know I've been an actor in other lives, you know, you've been a comedian. So if we have any desire to do that, to do it,
correct,
and just to do it for ourselves and just put ourselves out there, like you were saying,
right,
and to not let the gatekeepers keep us away from our dreams.
Right.
Because at some point that's going to crumble, and I can't wait for that day. But in the meantime, we keep on keeping on.
That's right. So we're going to wrap it up, guys. Thanks for joining us today. It was so nice to have you. Join us next week when we talk about purpose. Make sure to rate us and leave a comment. You can also find us on Instagram at Cheat Day Podcast, on Twitter at Cheat Day PCast. You can email us at cheatdaypcast@gmail.com or check our website at cheatdaypodcast.com.
Okay, bye.